you, living and resurrected Lord, the one whom we can boldly say is resurrected this day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And greetings to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Communities. Thank you, Pastor Scott, for allowing me to be here to proclaim God's word with us today. And thank you for your support for Emmanuel Lutheran Communities over the years and the continuous support. The ministry that is spread, the witness that is made known at Bethlehem, through Bethlehem, in this community and beyond. Thank you very much. It's always something to be experiencing history. You and I, at this very moment, are experiencing history. We are living it. If I had a watch on, I'd be able to tell you what time it is. This very moment, you are experiencing it. Thanks to Pastor Scott, I had no idea this event was happening on this day 500 years ago today. The historian he is, he reminded me that on this day, April the 18th, 1521, and I was reading what you sent out, and it was at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon that Martin Luther, at the Diet of Worms in Germany, stood before Emperor Charles V and before religious authorities, and he had a whole day to consider, will he recant what he's already written, when in fact many of the things that he had written, no one had any problems with, but one of those other things that he had written, several of his books and treatises, was rubbing people the wrong way. As what he had written was pointing to the Word of God first instead of what man and woman says first. On this day, 500 years ago, in fact, during this hour, Worms, Germany is 8 hours ahead of us. And so, I did a little research for this, I'm sorry. And so, at 8 o'clock this morning, was 4 p.m. there. At this, and Luther loved to talk, so I imagine it took a while for him to say what he said. As we gather for 9 o'clock worship here in the Mountain Time Zone in the United States of America, you and I are experiencing 500 years ago at this moment that the Word of God was delivered in a way that was the beginning of the end of the Reformation. The Reformation just had gotten its start, and now it was going to take off in many other ways. 500 years ago, right this moment, Luther stood before the emperor and the other religious authorities, and as he did, he said, "My conscience is captive to God's word," as our conscience should be captive first to God's word, to God's truth. And Luther went on to say, and to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. And as Luther would do, he spoke more words, but he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Do we even talk about conscience these days? To have a conscience, and then to point from our conscience to go to God's word first with it. God's proclamation of this Easter season, that as Christ is risen from the dead, and that as God's promises are true and sure, that you and I find in ourselves no condemnation because of the grace of God. And instead of being compelled to do in order to earn, we discover that we, as blessed children of God, that we are received by God's grace alone. God's word, as Luther says, it has come running after me, and it always catches me by grace. Luther was a great example of being a witness to God's word, and this is what we hear Jesus talking about this morning with his disciples. There are only so many times that we experience Jesus and his disciples post-resurrection, after he's alive, living, walking around. We only know a little bit of what happened after he rose from the dead. But what we do know is a reminder that God has not forgotten us, but comes to us. Instead of the trembling disciples seeking him out, he seeks us out. And you've all got your own personal stories as to how that's done, as to how Christ has come for you. We speak so much of how when we came to Christ, but we remember that we were chosen first. And as we were chosen, we are conscious then of the fact that it's God's word that has saved. Jesus today says, "You will be my witnesses." He doesn't say, "You might want to consider being my witnesses." He doesn't say, "I just don't think you have it, but give it a shot. Be my witnesses." He says, "You will be my witnesses." Jesus, as he breathes on his, and I know we shouldn't be breathing on each other, but Jesus can breathe on us. As he breathes on us his spirit, we are witnesses this day as to what God is doing in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of fear, in the midst of trembling, as the disciples are still in this upper room wondering what in the world should we do next, as you and I ask some of the same questions. What comes next? And God's word, as it does not change, speaks to us as witnesses this day. Now, witnesses. There are a lot of high-profile court cases going on in the world this day. And I think we could probably say that every week. High-profile court cases. And witnesses are crucial. If there were no witnesses, what would we know had happened? And the witnesses, as you know, they take an oath. And as they take an oath within our country, they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. We've taken an oath to rely on God's forgiveness first. We've taken an oath to actually take our confession to heart this morning, that we realize by our work, as we're in the upper room with the door shut as well, that we have not saved the world, nor will we save the world. It's been saved by Christ. It has come from God. God's work. This is the oath we take. This is the witness we take with us. I was trying to count all the resurrection appearances, and there's around a dozen of them, if you will, in the New Testament. If you were to go everywhere from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and into the book of Acts, as well as Jesus appearing to his brother, James, and other times in which people said, a difference has come into my life that I need to share with you. I mean, it's not every day you witness the new life that comes from death. And they had to share the message. And yet they found themselves behind these closed doors, and it was tense. There was a lot of fear. It was nerve-wracking here. But the miracle of the Gospels is we get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly from the disciples. The disciples, like us, can't believe it. They even have Jesus in their presence. And he's about to send these fearful disciples into a world that says, resurrection, really? And Jesus gives us the strength to proclaim the truth, God's word. We should not take it for granted. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no matter what gospel we go to, the disciples, we see them as human beings. Not painted as some folks that Jesus came to and they say, it's about time. We knew this would happen. When are you going to send us out into a world that's going to tear us apart? Now, Jesus, we hope. No. Jesus comes to us most definitely at the times in which we say, how can we go into the world? What we are to do this day, Jesus. And God pursues us with love. We witness his love today. Jesus, they think he's a ghost, right? Well, you know, do you got any food around here, Jesus says? And all of a sudden, a potluck breaks out, and we got broiled fish, and Jesus eats in front of them. In other words, what else do you need to see? I am alive. And the story, as it's carried down to us today, is a reminder that this is truth rather than simply hearsay. Jesus will do whatever it takes for our faith to be bolstered as he comes to us. These fearful disciples, we don't know exactly what happened to each one of them, but according to extra biblical accounts beyond scripture, and thankful for historians as well who have written about these disciples. These disciples who were wondering what would happen to them next. According to what we know, almost all of them died as witnesses. The word witness in Greek is where we get the word martyr from. Jesus says, you will all be my martyrs. You will all be my witnesses. And you and I, we don't go into the world seeking to be martyred. No. But we go into the world with boldness, knowing that no matter what comes our way, that you've got the greatest story to tell as a witness. And you tell it like no other. The people that you are spatially distanced from today, they have a story that you don't have, but guess what? You've got one they don't have, but it's about the same one that has brought us here. So these disciples, fearful, ask a question about them, trying to wonder what it was that convinced them, as Jesus stood before them alive, what it was that convinced them that no matter what happens, we will go into God's world. And the question that keeps coming to me is this: have you ever heard of somebody dying for an empty cause? Now, people might die for a cause that you and I might say, well, we don't think that's worthy, but they made a decision. These disciples, from what they had seen, for how they had been empowered by the Spirit, they were sent into God's good world to proclaim God's good word. And at least 9, if not 10, of them died as martyrs. You don't do that for an empty cause. You only do that if you've seen the resurrected Lord. There's no chance that is taken, if you will, because if we live, we are the Lord's. If we die, we are the Lord's, as we hear in Scripture. These disciples, like Martin Luther, they can do no other. Like us, we can do no other. We know that the church, as we call it today, has been changing ever since day one. But we move forward. And as we move forward, not knowing what this afternoon's going to look like, much less a year from now is going to look like, we know the Lord is with us. And we know the Lord has gathered us. And that we know the Lord has enlightened us with his grace. And so, Bethlehem Lutheran, the witness that you are, as I walk the halls at Emmanuel Lutheran, hearing about Bethlehem Lutheran in your witness, and beyond Emmanuel in the community and beyond, for years and years and years to come, you are called to be witnesses, to tell your faith story. And now with things changing in the world, we've got new ways to tell our story. We see the good in what's to come, in the ways we can tell about how God has been with us in the midst of what the world calls something so terrible, and it has been terrible in many ways. We don't want to overlook that. But we witness how God has not left us, but instead God comes into our locked rooms. The disciples were self-quarantined, if you will. And as they were, Christ says, I have found you with love, and I invite you out. Especially today, everyone's welcome. Who wants to come? We invite you out. We invite you together to be witnesses. How are we to be witnesses? God has laid claim of our souls. God has laid claim of our bodies. God has laid claim of our lives forevermore. And this gracious and loving and constant presence of Jesus Christ, it moves us, doesn't it? It moves us to speak, as Martin Luther believed as he left that room, that assembly 500 years ago right now, that there was a really good chance he wouldn't make it more than a mile down the road. And yet he had surprises still in front of him, as protection would be held for him by others in authority. We don't know what the future holds, nor do we need to know what it holds, but instead who holds it. And who has invited you and I into the future, and what is not only to come, but what is present today. Christ is indeed alive. And he's made his love known, and we're called to be witnesses of this truth. And we say, here we stand, we can do no other, because we have witnessed his life-giving power. We have witnessed how the Spirit is working in and through this place. We have witnessed the greatest truth of all. And the greatest truth of all, because he is risen. Let's let the Presbyterians across the street hear us. He is risen.